I hit record, Joe, so we are live to hard drive. Give me a, I need to check your levels. Say something sexy.
Believe in me. Believe ballet.
All right, thanks, Billy. Can I get Joe's sound levels now? Oh, wait, that was you, Joe. Wow, perfect. How are mine? Twas brillig. Twas brillig in the slithy toves. Testes. Nipples. Big black butts. Yeah, this is good. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to JBC. Joe and I have been away. We've been on a little bit of a sabbatical, you could say, if you wanted to lie, which is what we plan to do for the next 60 minutes. We're at minute one already. The next 59 minutes. So sit back and relax, or lean forward and be tense. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want, because that's what we do. We do whatever we want. I think you could say that in the grand scheme of things, doing whatever you want is essentially what it means to be. What it means to be Joe, what it means to be Jason, what it means to be JBC. Nailed it. Being on medication is such a good thing.
All right. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Joe. Hey, I'm going to just real quick jump out there and apologize to everybody. We're going to talk about this probably at length, but the reason we were not able to record last week is because I'm tooting my own horn here, Joe. I was doing some stand-up comedy. Yeah. So I didn't tell Joe.
Yeah,
this.
And I got to ask you about that. And
yeah.
In fact, I was tempted when we were talking offline to get a whole lot of information from you, and then I kind of held back because I think our relationship and all information given exchanged between the two of us is best exchanged on this show, not in our real lives.
Exactly. That is how I want my life to lead. In fact, if I had my druthers, which is a great word, I would only do podcasts with people. I would never talk to people unless it was on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like my mom, my dad, my wife, my kid, you, my boss, all the people I work with. I think it'd be great if some guy's like, hey man, we need to set a meeting because you are, you're running low on soap for your car washing business. And I'm like, all right, let's do a podcast. I'm like, hey, everybody, here I am with Steve, the soap distributor. Steve, how are you doing today? And anyway, no idea.
Well, you know, maybe an apology is in order, but I don't, again, it's not like we have a listener that might be disappointed, but also might be excited that there's been 2 weeks without a show, and now here it is again.
Yeah.
We still exist.
Yes.
This is the Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah.
And it's being recorded a week after Valentine's Day because you know what got in the way, not just your stand-up comedy career, but also just Valentine's Day itself. It turned out, you know, we tried to reschedule this and that. We had all these plans for the Valentine's Day show. Valentine's Day itself got in the way because it turns out I have obligations to my wife for Valentine's Day.
Your wife, Pauline?
Yes. Yeah. And that's fine. So how many times did we postpone the show? Like 4 or 5 or something like that?
Something like that.
I kept hanging out with my wife because it turned out not to be Valentine's Day, but Valentine's week. And it was like, yes. Oh, and she kept getting the night off on the night that I wanted to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to do the podcast because then I was hanging out with my wife again. So it's all in the name of love.
All in the name of love. Hey, if I had to choose between doing a podcast and hanging out with your wife, well, I do the podcast because, you know, your wife is your wife. I mean, she's a nice lady, don't get me wrong. But when I try to do a stupid joke like that, I expect it to do better. They did a lot better last Thursday, let me tell you, my jokes, okay?
So, and this is, you know how I like to twist things. Actually, it's a stretch most of the time, but if we have a theme, I'll just try to tie whatever the fuck we want to talk about into the theme. So,
yeah.
Thing is, I love your comedy.
Oh, thank you.
It's a matter of love.
Yeah.
And in the name of love, can you please explain to us this situation where you got to open up for a really talented guy? You yourself are a talented guy. Can you give us some details? Can you tell us how it went?
Yeah, sure.
It's exciting. It really is.
Absolutely. So my wife's cousin is a guy by the name of Anish Shah, and you should go look him up, AnishShahComedy.com. I'll put it in the show blurb. You'd think that I have this stuff memorized, but he is a really good comedian, and he goes all around the world, literally the world, doing shows. Well, he had a show up in Seattle, and he Seattle, Washington. He got confused. He said, you know, hey, do you want to open for me? And I said, sure. Then found out last minute, oh, it's not my Seattle, it's his Seattle. Whatever. So I flew over there, and we did two shows. We did one for the University of Washington's one of their clubs, the Indian Student Association. So I opened for him there, did about 15 minutes, and he got on stage and did about 45 and totally killed it. It was awesome. Then a couple nights later, we went to a bar that he had booked, and we had about, I want to say 80, 85 people show up. And this is 85 people.
I thought you were going to say 80, 85 drinks, and then we barfed, and then we didn't make the show.
It was – well, we're feeling pretty good.
It was 85 people. That's nice.
Yeah, it was like 85 people. And that's decent considering I think it was $20 a ticket and a $10 drink minimum. So everybody who showed up shelled out $30. That's kind of cool. So on that one, he got another guy to be the MC. So this other dude was the MC. He was great. I got up. I did about 20 minutes. Went really well. And then Anish got up there and did his half hour or so. And he did really well as well. And everybody had a good time. And it was awesome. It was great.
Now, and this guy, my wife and I listened to him because we knew that you were going to open up for him.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah.
We both think that you're funny, and we wanted to see if this guy was funny, and we hit play on one of his presentations, YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big live show that was recorded, and we watched it on YouTube, and we were laughing our asses off right away. So we're just excited for you.
Excellent.
And we knew that you would step up to the plate and do a good job. I wanted to ask you, Anish Shah, this guy, in all universes in the multiverse, his name is always Anish Shah.
Yeah.
So there's the JBC universe, which is a twisted, uncaring, and I'm gonna go beyond uncaring. It's a cruel universe.
Yeah, it's a different cold. Yeah.
There's no regard for none. Anyone's dignity
or dignity.
Yeah, anyone's dignity. It's a terrible place to be. He's in this and every other parallel universe, and his name is always Anish Shah. Whereas a lot of the people that are guests on our show, you know, I've traveled from one dimension to the next, and everybody's got different names, different jobs. It's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
This guy's always a comedian, and his name is always Anish Shah.
Yeah.
I can say that as an interdimensional traveler.
You can. And you should. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So because of that, in our universe, I'm hoping that he will come on and just shoot the shit with us and show us how to really banter correctly.
Yes.
You know, just up the comedy a couple of notches. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to him about it. He's totally down with it. It's just a matter of me getting off my lazy butt and getting it arranged, which I will do soon. He is a very, very busy young man. Every weekend, he is in a different city doing what he does. So he's making a decent living. He's done a lot of really – go to his website, AnishComedy.com. Like I said, I'll put it on the show blurb. It was great. And opening for him was wonderful.
And I did. And one of the funniest things was there's a joke on there. I don't know if it's one of his bits, but it's about – you know, he's a super smart guy, and I think his dad paid for him to go to, what was it, Yale or Stanford?
Yale, yeah.
His dad paid for him to go to Yale only for his son to become a stand-up comedian.
Yes. Yeah.
but he's a successful one, so.
Yes.
So there, Dad.
So there, Dad. Yeah. So
I've never met that dad. So
he's good. He's a cool dad. I have met him. He's a cool dad, and my dad's cool. So is yours. Most dads. I'm a dad. Ian's a dad. Lots of cool dads out there.
Lots of dads. I'm fucking barren.
No, Joe. You're daddy-o. We say, hey, daddy-o. What's up?
Daddy-o rhymes with Joe.
That's right.
Okay, there's another one of those good rhymes.
Boom, boom,
it's going
to
be in a montage later because I always come up with these sick rhymes, just like fat dope, dope rhymes.
Dope and fat rhymes. No matter how you spell it, spell fat however you want. That's Joe's rhymes. So tell me about V-Day. You and your wife did some activities. Anything that you want to share or talk about or, you know, discuss or
well,
confess?
You know, if I go too sappy on this, it's not necessarily going to be a comedy podcast anymore. But there's a lot of sappy stuff that goes on between me and my wife. My wife and I. Yeah. Me and my wife.
All
my
of
wife
those.
And me.
All four of you.
It's yeah. And well, I can tell you this. Normally, I surprise my wife with Kentucky Fried Chicken because I'm a classy guy.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, ooh, what's going to happen? It's my birthday or it's Valentine's Day or, you know, it's our anniversary. And she goes, so what's going to happen here? What's Joe going to do this time? I normally have some sort of surprise. And the surprise ends up being KFC.
Okay.
And it's not much of a surprise because right before it happens, I go, okay, we're going to KFC. And then she goes, KFC? And I'm like, yeah, KFC. Come on, it's a tradition. Anyway, this is not much of a story, but I'm too deep in. So here we go. Do you mind?
No, please do.
Can I tell you the story?
I want
of how
you to.
I proposed to my wife on Valentine's Day, 2014.
Ah, okay. Yes, let's hear it.
Okay. So what I did was I put my wife in the car. She expected a surprise.
Yeah.
I always say it's KFC, and I'm going to backtrack a little bit. It's never really KFC. That's just what I say, and then we end up at some fancy restaurant, and she was like, oh, that's funny, because he said it was a shitty, you know, chicken restaurant in the middle of the ghetto, which is where a lot of KFCs are. There's KFCs everywhere, but anyway.
There's one a mile from my house.
Yeah, look, there's KFCs everywhere, but the fact is it's not a big fancy restaurant.
No.
It's not the best. Come on, everybody gets the joke. It's not the best place to bring your wife on any event.
The irony is palpable.
Unless you're just both hungover and it's time to eat KFC, but that's not a romantic kind of situation.
No.
So it's 2014, Valentine's Day. I say, hey, it's Valentine's Day. Get in the car. We're going to KFC. So I drive around for a while. And for the first time and for the only time, I showed up at KFC.
Uh-huh.
and we got out of the car and she looked at me like she was going to kill me. And then I opened the trunk. And then maybe she thought I was going to kill her because who knows what's in the trunk. Maybe I had a shovel and some rope or something in there. And if you kill somebody outside of a KFC, it doesn't really matter. Nobody cares.
No.
Anyway, I opened up the trunk. I pulled out a blindfold, which also sounds like, okay, what the hell is he doing here?
Yeah.
Well, hashtag me too. And then I was like, well, okay, here we are at KFC. And then I said, here, I'm going to blindfold you. I think she was a little bit nervous at that point. We had been together for a while, but come on. We're at a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm blindfolding you.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's like, oh, my God. I blindfold her. I put her back in the car, and I drive around for a while. Now, what I ended up driving to a very fancy park with a big fountain in Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah.
Big fountain. The fountain is lit up, okay, and it's at dusk, and there's a full moon, by the way.
Wow,
so it's dark enough, and I planned this out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's dark enough to where the fountain is lighting most of the park.
Okay.
But the full moon and dusk and the silhouettes of dusk are all just – it was very picturesque.
Yeah.
No, picturesque. Woo. Wow, did I have a hard time with that
I really
word.
Do hope it wasn't picaresque, which is a word, and I'll tell you what it means later. But please continue.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, she didn't know it, but I walked her up to this fountain. And again, this is like it's like a meta surprise. Ooh, it is.
Yeah.
Because I said, okay, we're here. Take off your blindfold. And she took off her blindfold. And she unraveled the blindfold, and what I had created the blindfold. It was a thin silk fabric.
Okay.
Embroidered on it was, "Will you marry me, Pauline?"
Wow.
That unraveled, and she saw the light of the full moon and the fountain shine through the silk so she could read it. And when she turned to her left, I was on one knee, proposing to my now wife, Pauline.
Whoa. Dude.
Okay, there's nothing funny about that.
No, there's nothing, but
I tell the story often, but I've never told it on the podcast.
Do you
have any thoughts? Yeah, how'd I do? Come on.
You did.
Give me an Olympic score for that shit.
I want to. Oh, you want an Olympic score? 9-5, 9-5, and 3-2 from the Russians. So you won the gold.
Oh.
Fuck the Russians. Come on. I mean, they're always, you know. They're like,
yeah,
well,
just not...
no vodka. Yeah, yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah, no, it was no. That's a beautiful story. I want to marry you now. I want you to propose to me. That was just a beautiful thing you did. Did you?
And, to top that off, and this is very Pauline. Is she looked at me? She was. I mean, she looked like under duress, which kind of scared me for a moment because she didn't answer me. She just looked at me and said, "Are you fucking shitting me?" Which is really weird. And then because I was like, "So, yes?" And then she cried. She screamed, "Yes."
Oh,
and this
beautiful.
That was a weird callback. Completely, these people didn't coordinate. But I asked my wife. I asked my wife's father for her hand in marriage.
Yeah,
about 2 months before that. Her father is a really cool guy.
Yeah.
And I just went up. He thought we were just going to watch a football game. And right in the middle of the football game, I turned to him at halftime and I said, "Listen, I really want to marry your daughter and I want your blessing. Can I marry your daughter? I'm asking for, you know, your hand in marriage," or what? How does that go?
Yeah. You asked him for her hand in marriage. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. That always mixes me up. And guess what he said?
He said, "Are you fucking shitting me?"
That's exactly what he said. I'm not kidding. Now, these people didn't coordinate that, but clearly they're related.
That is so – that is.
And then he's a much bigger guy than me. He's like 79, but I couldn't take him in hand-to-hand combat. Like he's hardcore.
And that's saying
like,
something,
and
Joe.
And
he almost
squished me.
There are some people
he
could take.
And he said, "Are you fucking shitting me?" And then he almost crushed my ribs.
Wow,
that's awesome, man.
That is awesome.
Anyway, so that's my very romantic story.
That's beautiful.
I put enough fucks in there to where maybe it fits into the show.
I think
you know.
I think you did a good job. Did you guys go out to dinner after she said yes, or did you just go home and bone each other?
Well, look, the boning thing. That's not for the podcast, but I can tell you right after that, right after we were, you know, betrothed.
Yeah.
She was very excited and so was I. And we called a bunch of people, including, you know, my dad,
yeah.
Her dad,
yeah.
Her other dad, my other mom,
yeah.
A couple of other moms. We didn't call your mom. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But, she knew.
And then I took her to this place, this Italian place called Po Pazzo.
Ah, okay.
In Davenport, Iowa. And yeah. What I did this time for Valentine's Day is that I took her – we haven't been to Po Pazzo since, you know, 2014, right? So
okay.
This was our anniversary of our
– engagement.
Of me proposing.
Yeah.
Whew, these sentences are coming real hard this evening. Anyway – I took her to the same restaurant, but it's a different restaurant now.
Oh,
so
no.
She hadn't been there since, so she didn't realize it was the same restaurant. And right in the middle of the meal, I said, "I remember the first time we were here." And she goes, "We've never been here before. I think we've been in this neighborhood. You know, we've eaten at a lot of different restaurants." I'm like, "No, this place used to be Po Pazzo." And hey, there I am again. I'm just knocking it out of the park.
Wow, dude. Did she say, "Are you fucking shitting me"?
No, but I was kind of hoping that you would.
Yeah, it would it be possible? And I don't want to pry into your personal life too much. I mean, there are some things maybe you don't want the podcast to own. But do you think it'd be possible to get her a recording of her saying, "Are you fucking shitting me?" for my soundboard? I could just, you know, anytime you tell me something.
Oh yeah, incredible. Well, you know, for those of our listener that have been listening to our new podcast, which is now, I don't know, what are we on, number 4 or number 5, something like that? Or wait, sorry, number 54?
Well, we've done 54, but this is number 4 of the new podcast.
The new podcast.
Yeah.
We've done 54. It's all very complicated, five. But yeah. This new podcast, some of you, if you've been listening, Pauline came on to, I think, 2 episodes ago. Pauline made her first...
Yes.
Her first appearance, and you asked her, you know, I think it was like, what type of baseball mitt is most like my balls? And she answered quickly and with authority.
She did, yeah. Yeah, so.
And that's the catcher's mitt. Anyway.
Because it's the puffiest. Well, Joe, that's a beautiful story, and I want to hear it again, so go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I could tell you
so
what
it was 2014.
I could tell you what we did for Allison and I.
It was
KFC. Yeah, you could tell like the raunchy version, you know. So I pick up this anyway. I'm babbling here because I had too many beers.
I blindfolded the bitch. I was behind KFC anyway.
Yeah,
that almost sounded like a stroke, Bob.
A little strokey there. I could tell you what we did for Valentine's Day, but I don't think there's any point. One, I couldn't top your story, and two, we didn't do anything. So there you go.
What a dog. Yeah. Oh God, come on.
Well, the truth of it is that we were all in a different city because we were in between the stand-up shows, and in addition to my wife's cousin being there, obviously, because he's doing the thing, that guy's sister, who's also my wife's cousin, and that woman's husband, who's not my wife's cousin except by marriage, were all there on Valentine's Day. So we got, and I'm not making this up, Joe, this is literally the truth, so we got some fried chicken and just hung out. Not KFC, but
wow.
Yeah,
well, okay. Yeah. The fact is, now I have this association in my brain that I kind of arbitrarily... My KFC joke started in like 2011 when I first surprised my wife when I said, "Hey, we're going to KFC," and then I ended up taking her to like an expensive steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
Well, the KFC thing happened over and over and over again. And every time I think of fried chicken, I get this warm, romantic feeling. So,
okay.
If you had fried chicken on Valentine's Day, I consider that a little bit simpatico.
It is. Where's my buttons? I need to be ready for these things.
Fuck you, Joey.
We traditionally, what we do on Valentine's Day, we've been married for 10 years now, is we go and we just get foods that we like and just sit in front of the TV and eat them. And we had friends in town, and so we were in town too. We were with all of our friends around the same town, and we heard that there's this really good fried chicken place in Seattle called Heaven Sent Chicken. So we went there, and yeah, it lived up to the name. Actually, there's an interesting story behind Heaven Sent Chicken, and no, they're not going to sponsor us because we curse way too much, and that guy is way too into Jesus. But apparently in Seattle, Washington, there was a fried chicken chain called Ezell's, and this is like famous, like Oprah ate there once, okay? And apparently, from what I heard, Ezell, the guy, that's his last name, he and his wife split up, and she helped him build the business, I guess. Well, they split up, and in the divorce, she got the name, but he got the recipe. So she still owns some chicken restaurants called Ezell's. He owns a new chain called Heaven Sent, but his is the authentic recipe, whereas hers is, I don't know, some cheap imitation, so...
A pinch less of paprika, and now it's the same shit.
Yep. I've never.
Now this fits into the Valentine's Day episode because this is a story of love lost.
That's right.
This is two people that had a dream, and the dream had to split in two, and it's a sad thing. Except now there's two chains. Maybe it's better for the community. I don't know.
I think it's not. I think anytime people suffer and there's fried chicken involved, the world is, you know, taking a beating at that. I mean, it's a worse place than it was, you know. I mean, I'm just saying words so that I can think of the next thing I wanted to talk about. But I truly believe either I truly believe that or I don't, basically, is what I'm getting at. You come right down to it. Joe, there's some other things I wanted to talk about today. I do want to talk about Valentine's Day, but I have some news for you, and I don't know if you're going to like it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, look, the thing about news is if you like it, it's fun to hear. If you don't like it, people are ravenous about it.
Yes,
like
they are.
Bad news is fucking where it's at. So yeah. Just hit me.
Okay, so you know how that douchebag Ajit Pai, whatever his name is, the guy who's in charge of FCC, he did some jiggery pungy or whatever you want to call it, and changed some of the rules around with what the FCC is in charge of and what they're not in charge of, right? Something okay. to do with, like, yeah. the internet and, you know, net neutrality and all this stuff. And people can go look it up. But, basically, this is how it affects us. Apparently, if you do a podcast that has a certain number of listeners and or a certain number of episodes, you qualify under the new rules. It's so stupid. You qualify as a radio station, which is dumb, right? It has something to do with net neutrality. I don't understand it. I tried to explain to the FCC, look, we've only had 4 episodes and we only got 1 listener. And they said, no, you've done 54 episodes. And I said, no, it's a
full new
podcast. No,
that's not
true.
That was just because this is just because.
I tried to tell them that. And they said, okay. They said, look, these are the rules. If you don't like them, you know, you can go to Cuba or something. And I was like, I don't want to go to Cuba. Not right now anyway. Maybe next year when it's, I don't know, climate's a little bit. This is a crazy year for weather. Anyway, my point is this. Because we are not qualified as a radio station, technically, we have to dedicate some of our quote-unquote airtime to the public good. That's the rules.
Okay.
We have to, because the people own the airwaves, and we have to dedicate some of our airtime to the public good. And so we either have to do public service announcements, we have to run ads by the Ad Council, or we have to read the news. And so I was like, yeah, fuck those other two things. I'll read some fucking news. So I'm going to read some news.
That's oh, my God. We're going to do a news segment?
We have to do a news segment. Yeah, I don't want to, but we
okay,
have
look,
to.
In the tradition of just becousins, not just becousins, mm-hmm. My computer is running out of power. I'm going to need about 30 seconds to plug it in because that's one of the things I didn't prepare for. It's okay. Come on, right? Isn't that part of the – it's not much of an inside joke, is it? It's just kind of being
part of the magic. Go plug it in, and while you're doing that.
Or a radio show. Sorry, I guess we're a radio show now.
We are.
No.
Anyway, go do that.
I want to hear this news.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to do. All I need is 30 seconds. I know I always leave you in the lurch here.
No, it's fine.
Just kind of fill in the time. Now that we're a radio show, you really don't want dead air, right? So
no, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and plug this in. It won't take me very much time, and then I can't wait to hear the news.
Yeah, okay, right? Go ahead. Yeah,
go and go.
All right, so maybe while Joe is gone, I will bring up a random snatch of music from Anisha's website. Uh-oh, I think Joe may have hung up on me. Yeah, he sure did. All right, well, he'll come back. Anyway, let's see. I will turn off the guitar music. It's gone. I will bring up one of Anisha's shows. Here we go. And let's see what it all sounds like. So far, I can't hear anything. Let's bring up the volume. Da-da-da.
And my mom would say scary things to me growing up. Scary, scary things. Like I'd be misbehaving in a store, and she would yell at me, but she'd do it in our language so that none of the white people could understand what she was saying. Right? So I'd be misbehaving, and she would say to me in our language, Samur Kareya. They are Ramakur Pachman Dimukyane. To Karejine Tara Harka Bhagi Kareya. For those of you that don't know Gujarati, let me translate for you. It sounds so sweet, almost poetic. Translate. Listen, donkey. If you don't put this toy back right now, I'm gonna tell you. Mind up your body parts. I'm sorry, but the crime totally doesn't fit the punishment.
Okay, there's a little bit of an e-shot. Joe, you're back. Yeah.
Okay, so the computer actually died.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay, no, it's fine. And but you're back now.
I am back. Everything's fine. The computer's cool. Plugged in. What did I miss?
I was just – all I did was play a little bit of Anisha's comedy since we were talking about
Anish. Oh, man, did I fuck it up when I called back in?
No, don't worry about it. He had hit the punchline already, so they're good. Audio wasn't the best anyway, so let's just – it's cool. All right, are you ready for me to do this quick little stupid news segment that we have to do even though I don't want to? You're cool with that?
Yeah, I don't want you to do it either, except I kind of do, so let's go.
All right. And feel free – I asked them how much I have to do, and they gave me some percentage thing, and I didn't understand it. So at any point, you could say, all right, dude, that's enough. But hopefully this
can I also – if the news story is interesting to me or if I have some sort of circumstantial thing to say or maybe tangential thing to say, can I say that or should I just shut the fuck up?
No, you can't.
What is the format like here?
You can. Yeah, it's not pre-recorded. You can do that, Joe, and – just be aware that we're at 30 minutes now. We still got two ads to do besides this bullshit. So just so you know, I don't mind if this drags out for half an hour. That's fine with me, but I just want to let you know. Okay. So you ready?
The news.
Here we go. Okay. Good evening. I'm Jason Mark. Today is February 22nd, 2018, and this is the news. Elon Musk, multi-billionaire and SpaceX founder, has successfully launched a car into space. The last thing anyone heard as it left the atmosphere was recalculating. Stormy Daniels, the porn star who claims she had sex with Donald Trump, now says she has a Monica Lewinsky dress with Trump's DNA all over it. Trump has responded saying, "That's impossible. You don't even have to touch a dress when you grab him by the pussy." In a move to serve healthier food to children, McDonald's says it will no longer serve cheeseburgers in Happy Meals. A spokesman for the fast food chain explained that they may lose some revenue, but they'll save millions on all of the McDonald's Playland structures those fat little bastards were constantly breaking. Police in Seattle, Texas were called to the home of a local man, Jason Mark, after an anonymous tip brought Mr. Mark's Twitter account to their attention. Phrases such as, "I'm going to kill," and "they'll die, they'll all die," aroused suspicion, until police determined that Mr. Mark was nothing more than a mediocre stand-up comic talking about his upcoming show, and, more importantly, white. Reviews for the HomePod, Apple's entry in the speech-responsive sound system market, say that the HomePod's silicon base leaves a stained ring after sitting on a wooden surface for 20 minutes or less. In response, Apple explained that it is not unusual for any speaker with a vibration-damping silicon base to leave mild marks when placed on some wooden surfaces. Apple went on to say, "But what the fuck do you care? It's an Apple thing. You pretty much have to buy it if you don't want to look like an asshole." The Smashing Pumpkins are gearing up for a reunion tour this year. When asked to address the irony of putting the Smashing Pumpkins back together, frontman Billy Corgan simply replied, believe in me. Wow.
Believe.
Pierce Brosnan has been threatened with jail time due to his appearance in an ad for a product that contains tobacco, as such ads are prohibited by the Indian government. When asked if he feared the threat from the Indian government and would he do anything about it, the James Bond portrayer responded, shaken, not stirred. The first blood test to help diagnose concussions has recently received FDA approval. Apparently, the test simply checks to see if you've ever played in the NFL. Hip-hop artist Lil Pump has been arrested for shooting a gun while home alone. Sources have yet to confirm how many tube socks were also involved. In other celebrity news, pregnant Khloe Kardashian has been tweeting as to the changing shape of her baby bump. In her latest story, Congress is considering a new I don't give a fuck tax, which is expected to raise $15 billion in the next 3 years. Heavy trading on Wall Street today as the Big and Beautiful Stocks and Bondage Club met for their semi-annual wife swap. I'm Jason Mark. All right, I'm glad that's over with.
I love it. We got the news now.
Yeah. So, full disclosure.
I don't know who wrote that copy.
Well, I got it off the wires.
Several writers?
I just got it. I just took it off the wires. I just took it off the news wires. Not the AP wires, because you have to pay them. Yeah, you have to pay AP, but just off the news wires. And full disclosure, Joe, just so you know, I have put in a petition to the FCC to not have to do this. And so we'll see how it goes, because I may have to, or we may have to, you may have to, for crying out loud, or maybe not. We'll see. So no promises. Just putting it out there.
Well, I'm ashamed to say that I was amused by it. I know that you're not on board with it. This is something, you know, someone's twisting our collective arms.
Yeah.
That's two, by the way. You collect one arm, you collect another.
Yep.
That's twist the set. Both. It's collective arms being twisted.
Yep.
And it's both of ours, and that's not good. No. And but I found it amusing, so.
Okay.
I'm just going to grin through this.
Okay. And bear it. Good. So that's over with. We're a minute 35. We do have some ads to do. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. Real quick, Joe, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, it might have been a year ago. Hell, I don't remember what it was. You mentioned that you had listened to the audiobook of the book that's about the making of that movie, The Room. The Disaster Artist, is that the name of the book?
Disaster Artist, that's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, I forgot to tell you, several weeks ago, I finished reading that book.
All right, well, I know this isn't the book episode. We can go even deeper because we're gonna do a book episode, I think, pretty soon. We tend to.
Yeah. Well, I love books, so Valentine's Day episode, love.
What did you think of it, though?
Well, you know, it was interesting, and yes, we can go in deeper. I was a little put off by the writer's his sense of superiority. And I got to tell you, I was really, really put off by James Franco's introduction. Did your audiobook have his introduction?
No, I didn't get that one. I liked the way the guy read the book. I'm not on board. By the way, we'll go into this on the book episode. I thought it was an entertaining book. I thought it was a fascinating book. Now, that doesn't mean that. Let me put it this way. As a Taco Bell manager, there's a lot of problems in the relationship between those two guys. There are, I think, a myriad of mental health conditions, some of which I think were caused by traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
When it comes to Tommy Wiseau or whatever the hell his name is, I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's literally a damaged person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And figuratively. I mean, but there was just a lot of issues in there that were a little bit like off-putting for me, and they weren't really addressed by the author at all.
No.
Is that what you're talking about? Like,
That's not what I'm talking about. We'll get into it. There's a lot of things
that we can discuss about that book. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did think there was – I thought it was interesting in that I thought it was a fascinating kind of reflection on society and what it takes – what the fact that someone can ironically or – somehow in some backwards avenue become a famous and lauded person when there's no talent involved. There might be all sorts of drive and almost pathological need to be famous. And that kind of worked, which is like, whoa, my God. Okay. And again, this is not addressed by the author, who seems basically mentally, emotionally stable, I guess. But is any of this ringing a bell for you?
Absolutely,
or like, any of this ring true, that is?
Absolutely, yes.
Anyway, I kind of let a lot of that go and just enjoyed, because there was a certain amount of comedy just bubbling up from all of this weirdness. And a lot of it was just really funny in the same way that the movie was funny.
Well, I haven't seen the movie.
Maybe that's why the whole thing was famous, is because it's an unintentional, ridiculous comedy, really. The movie that this guy made, Tommy Wiseau, for our listener. Okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would have preferred if the book had been half the making of it and half the making it famous. Like, I want to hear the story of the comedians who got a hold of it.
Like a study.
Yeah, that's the interesting
story
to me.
A study on why the hell is something like that famous.
Yeah. But they didn't do that. Instead, it was half...
Sorry, man. My mic is going out.
It is, but that's okay. I still hear you. But it was... The book was instead half autobiography, half how the movie was made, you know? And I was like, okay, if you want to... I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but if you want to, you know, if you want to ride on the coattails of
Jeff
the room...
Sestero?
Yeah, yeah. If you want to ride on the coattails of Tommy Wiseau's accidental fame in order to give your rather not interesting life story, okay. But that was my point of view. Here, let me just, and then the other thing is, like I said, I hate the whole James Franco part. Can I read to you just from the introduction or the foreword or whatever the fuck it was that James Franco wrote? Hello?
Yeah, I didn't get to hear it, but what did he say, though?
Okay, I'm just going to read one sentence from it. This is where I was like, I mean, this is like page two, and I'm like, oh, shit. But Joe read it, so I'm going to read it. But anyway, he wrote this. He wrote, this book is both a sensitive portrayal of hopefuls coming to Los Angeles to pursue their ambitions and an insightful examination of what it means to be a creative person with a dream, trying to make it come true in a form that is just as much a business and an insider social group as it is an art. Tommy Wiseau, c'est moi. Fuck you, James Franco. That is some straight up entitled, self-aggrandizing, look at how awesome I am bullshit. And this came out, he wrote that shit.
Well, can I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you, but like, goddamn, I agree with you so much and I'm bursting at the seams. What happened was he wanted to make a movie out of this, and there's something kind of brilliant about what James Franco did, which is, this is so bizarre that I can pull, he's a good actor. And yeah. He's like, not only can I direct this film and kind of portray the bizarre nature of what happened and then and do an impersonation of this guy that is maybe funny and also disturbing, but once he did that, he is automatically in cahoots with the guy himself.
Yes.
Which obligates him to somehow frame this in a way that is like, oh, I'm not making fun of him. This is a beautiful, inspirational story. James Franco doesn't believe that for a fucking second. Oh. He did this to exploit and fully illustrate how fucking bizarre this story really is. But there it is. He has to, again, as an actor, and I guess it's well done. He can't just be completely disparaging of this guy, so he had to put on that act too. So
yeah,
Academy Award for James Franco.
Well, I agree.
You know, we can smell your bullshit, Franco.
He I think he's a better actor than a lot of actors out there, and all the other shit he does.
He's good.
He's nonstop. But he also, you know, felt up women when he wasn't supposed to. So you know, fuck him. He should die. But just this idea that. So he says the book is about artists coming to Los Angeles or hopefuls and learning that, you know, art, that making, that chasing your dreams is as much a business as an art. Bullshit, 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 right? It's like, no, that's not what this book is about. It is not about hopefuls coming to Los Angeles and learning the hard way that, you know, their dreams have to be chased in a business form as well as an art form or whatever the fuck it is. No, that's not what this is about. So I don't know if you even read the fucking book. It's just, that's, and, that line there
again.
At the end,
this is him. This is him trying to not be disparaging of the guy that he needed to be colluding with in order to make this happen. He needed to reframe it, though. I think we all know that his reframing of this situation was fucking pure horseshit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that line that he put at the end, Tommy Wiseau, c'est moi. Okay.
Oh, God.
What he's saying is like, hey, here's a book about some people who did a brilliant thing, just like me. And it's like, well, no, they didn't do a brilliant thing. You know who did the brilliant thing? The comedians who did a protest at the theater where the movie was going to stop running and kept it going. They did a brilliant thing. All Tommy Wiseau did, God love the guy, but all he did was spend $6 million. That's it.
How about this, man? And all right, this is going to sound real harsh. Thank God no one listens to this podcast.
Thank God.
Because backlashes are aplenty now.
Yes.
And this is a little bit insensitive, but I don't fucking care. If I made a movie – how about this, Jason? Let's say you were a completely desperate actor.
Yeah, I am.
An artist.
Yeah.
But to a very extreme degree where you will take any job and – you meet me, and I am a brain-damaged and malevolent sociopath.
Sure.
And I have a dream, which is twisted by my own mental health condition and my brain damage. And I write a movie that is so goddamn stupid and weird. And it reflects my state of mind, which is almost dangerous. You take that job because I happen to have, by the way, and this is all part of the story, I happen to have millions of dollars. We don't know where I got it. We don't know where I got this fucking money. I might be a mentally ill heir of old blood money. And that's just my theory, actually, about Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it was his money that attracted all these desperate actors and actresses, including in this version of the tale, that my money as a brain-damaged sociopath has attracted you to my project, not the quality of the project. And by the way, you don't have a real friendship with me. You just see me as an opportunity to act in a film.
Yeah.
So the friendship is completely bereft of any meaning, which is fucked up. And when you read the book, you see that too. The friendship is not real. It's all based on desperation and mental illness. Woo.
Yeah.
Anyway, but here it is. So then you come in, and I've written a movie that is so, and this is why the movie became famous, because it's so off socially and so fucking retarded. And yes, I am going to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so bad that it flips over and becomes a laugh riot. And now, in the aftermath of this horrible fucking movie is a laugh riot because it makes no sense and because every line is disjunct and makes – oh, my God. Okay. And then everybody loves it, and now everybody's laughing at it. And now in the wake of that, everyone involved is like, yeah, wasn't that great? Well – I don't know. And now we have James Franco that's like, this is an inspiring story. You know why? Because he needed to hold hands with everybody involved in order to make his movie, which to me is clearly just an exploitation of how fucking weird and dark the entire situation was.
Yes.
Do I got it right?
Yeah, yeah. Really, it came down to it. Some weird guy had more money than he needed to convince a bunch of people to do the shitty thing he wanted to do. Somebody else said, hey, I'm going to write a book about it. And somebody else said, hey, I'm going to make a movie about that book. And no, this is not about hopefuls coming to Los Angeles. This is about money talks and bullshit talks too. Money and bullshit both talk. They're both talking. They're having a great conversation. It's wonderful. Look, I didn't mean
that's
for
right. Now to wrap this back into Valentine's Day.
Yes, please do. Thank you. Thank you.
James Franco would like us to believe that this is a love story. Actually, the movie itself is supposed to be a love story, which is laughable, which is why it's a fun movie to watch, because that's not a love story. That person doesn't understand love at all. That's a dark and twisted portrayal of love.
I'll tell you how
I'm being generous. Now James Franco is like, well, no, this is a story of people that are in love with their art form, and at all costs, and they've given all sacrifices in order to do what they love.
Right.
Well, that's bullshit. But I just did say the word love about four or five times, so we're back on Valentine's Day. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I think here's how I could say that it is a love story. I'm going to get this wrong, but there was a movie that came out a while ago, and it's not called Bear versus Shark. What is it? It's, you know, you ever watched that?
It's Jermaine.
Yeah, Jermaine. Yeah, is
in, yeah. Who I think is brilliant. Really funny guy.
Was that the name of the movie? Eagle versus Shark. It was Eagle versus Shark.
Yep, Eagle versus Shark. Jermaine Clement, and I'm not looking at Wikipedia.
No, you're just that good.
Just know that guy.
Yeah, Jermaine Clement plays this totally kind of weird dude. Like, you could imagine if you know Jermaine Clement's abilities, he's this weird dude. And the story is about this woman who falls in love with him and how much she, I don't want to say sacrifices, but deals with in order to love this guy. I mean, she gets fed up at one point and she's completely frustrated, but her love is truly unconditional. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful movie. It's funny and it's poignant and it's just got a lot of great stuff. I really recommend going to see it if you can rent it or find it somewhere. Eagle versus Shark. And so this, the room situation, what I think you could say it's a love story is that the god of getting movies made, or the muse who sees to it that movies become this thing, a socially accepted and talked about thing, whoever that muse or god is in love with Tommy Wiseau. And what she or it did was unconditionally continue to let this disaster, right, make this movie. There were so many points in the story where the movie should not have gone any further. So many points, but
yeah, that's true.
And I think the biggest one should have been after it was made and it's in the theaters, it made like $183. That was it. And that's going to go. But this muse, she loves him so much that she found the comedians to go in there and they staged the protest and now it's a worldwide phenomenon. So that's how it's a love story. Happy Valentine's Day. We have 10 minutes left. Should we do some?
Oh, damn.
Should we do our ads real quick?
Yeah, we got an ad. Do you got an intro for me? Here we go.
It's, yeah. Yeah. Do you have is it not an argument, right? This is an ad.
Is a word from our sponsor. Here we go.
Where is your word? Where's your intro?
Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Not there?
No, it is right here. Here we go.
Valentine's Day. 'Tis the season for romance. Long-held and cherished romance. New and burgeoning romance. Even romance once shared but now lost. That's why here at Pro Flowers, we have bouquets and arrangements to help express all varieties of romantic feelings, even feelings of bitterness, hatred, and malevolence in response to romances unfairly crushed by cold and uncaring former lovers. For instance, if you have a harmless crush on a social acquaintance, Valentine's Day is the perfect time to gift that special someone a dozen rainbow roses. This special arrangement is now available for same-day delivery at $24.99 from Pro Flowers. If you're happily married to your spouse of over 30 years, the Deluxe Always and Forever bouquet is a perfect choice. A tasteful mix of carnations and lilies, delivered with chocolate-covered strawberries on sale for only $69.99. But for some, Valentine's Day is a reminder of soul-smothering rejection and the dissemination of all self-worth at the hands of a cruel and remorseless liar who told you they would love you forever and then pulled your still-beating heart from your chest, squeezed its blood in your face, and laughed maniacally as you wept under the weight of unbearable betrayal. If this, or something of the like, is your circumstance this February, consider ordering for delivery one of Pro Flowers' new Fuck You Die arrangements. Each Fuck You Die bouquet includes carefully selected blooms in beautiful and varied combinations. Uniquely, however, these arrangements are sprayed with Pro Flower patented perfumes, which not only mimic the aroma of flowers, but deliver your choice of deadly airborne poisons. airborne poisons. I can say it. Did your ex-boyfriend leave you for your sister? Send him a Who's Laughing Now bouquet, featuring daisies, baby's breath, and a lethal dose of airborne strychnine, a neurotoxin that will act on his spinal nerves, causing him to contort and convulse before death. Did your wife, without explanation, pack her things and leave you alone to raise your emotionally devastated children? Have our special This Will Teach You to Hurt Me bouquet delivered. It's a gorgeous mixture of spring flowers with a dusting of weaponized hydrogen cyanide, guaranteeing a death gruesome to witness as the condemned flails and foams at the mouth in their last hideous minutes of life. Maybe you were simply turned down for a date to your senior prom, In that case, you may choose our, I guess I'm just a murderer arrangement. A dozen daffodils spritzed with our own patented poison, death profloxin. A single whiff of this perfume will immediately cause your victim's entrails to liquefy and bubble out of their anus in the form of steaming green slime. You may ask, how will these bouquets target only your intended victim and not innocent bystanders? Well, shut the fuck up and enjoy the commercial, bitch, or I'll send you a fuck you die bouquet. Now available from Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers is not responsible for the unintended deaths of pets, children, grandmothers, Pro Flower delivery personnel, or moral integrities.
Oh, man. I need to get me some of those because I know some people I want to send them to.
That's the first time I've ever seen the word typed out, betch. B-E-T-C-H.
That's how they typed it out in the copy, huh? That's crazy.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that was a tough one to read. It was really long.
It was really long, yeah.
Fucked up a lot, but...
No, you're fine. Man, you're fine.
That's dark. I don't know how romantic it really is, but there it is.
Well, as a small pause between that ad and the one I'm about to read, I can tell you that, you know, Valentine's Day love, something I did for Allison recently. She said, hey, I heard Squatty Potty makes going to the bathroom better. And I didn't even think twice. Straight to Amazon, ordered that shit, no pun intended, arrived in the mail. And, yeah, so now every time she squats and pops one out, I guess pops one out is usually referring to children, right? But you know what people say, I got to drop some kids off at the pool, so it sort of works. Anyway, here's the point. That's love. I'm going to read my ad now. You ready?
We got Larco?
Yeah, here's Larco. Here we go. All right. Look at this. Well, this Valentine's Day was a bust. Did you really think it was smart to gently introduce your wife to the idea of a threesome by getting her a blow-up sex doll and naming it after her sister? Well, maybe you could put a little effort in and start making it up to her. You know, take out the trash without being asked, or do some laundry, or wash a few dishes. Who are we kidding? The chances of you getting your sorry out-of-work ass off that beat-up, beer-stained lazy boy and contributing to the housework are about the same as your wife letting you dress her up in that schoolgirl outfit and calling you Principal Fatshaft. But, you know, they say that human beings can be easily manipulated with pheromones, and your wife just happens to be a human being. What if, instead of voluntarily doing some housework, there was a way to make yourself smell like you did some housework? Introducing Eau de Chores by Larco. Eau de Chores is a man's fragrance that sets the right tone with a carpet-cleaning melange of vanilla, spice, Tide Pods, musk, renews it, sandalwood, rosewood, and hints of citrus and bounty fabric softener. This gentle aroma will beguile her olfactory senses, putting her in the mood for some major hanky-panky. Apply a few healthy squirts of Eau de Chores to your neck, chest, armpits, navel, and crotch area, and before you can say, honey, where do we keep the oven cleaner? She'll be all over you like a leather dungeon piss slave on a quart jug with Gatorade after a three-day gurgle and spit binge.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Eau de Chores by Larco comes in a wide variety of sizes to fit all your needs, from our 7-ounce tester bottles right up to our economy 3-gallon jug. Or, if you're a Mormon, consider our Eau de Chores by Larco weekly subscription program and get all of your wives hot and bothered. Yes, as your personal property, they have no choice but to lie back and let you ride them like a balding chimpanzee on a bored and borderline suicidal tire swing. But wouldn't it be nice to see one or two of them sometimes enjoy it just a little bit every once in a while? Come on. Do it for Jesus. Go online now and use our special code JBC to get 3% off any order over $200. And if you place an order within the next 72 hours, we'll throw in a stick of our special line of Honey, I Played With the Kids deodorant. Perfect for putting on right before she gets home from work and the kids wake up from their 5-hour Benadryl-induced nap. Who needs to hide beer cans and get a job when they've got Eau de Chores by Larco? After all, your wife is still cheaper than a prostitute. Eau de Chores by Larco.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. And you know what else is in the air?
With the scent of bleach.
With the scent of bleach. Hey, we got 40 seconds left before I have to hit the go-away music. Can I tell you what a picaresque...
Well, you're going to have to just...
Remember you
Look,
you...
man, you're gonna have to postpone it just for a minute and a half.
I ain't got to do nothing. I do what I want.
Okay, damn it.
I'm going to tell you what picaresque means.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is picaresque?
So a picaresque is a literary style where you've got like a series of adventures that are had by a hero that's kind of charming and nice, but he's also either like low class or he's kind of dishonest or stupid or something like that. It's the most famous picaresque, of course, is Don Quixote.
So that's
what a picaresque is, yeah.
And that's great. I wonder – I'm guessing when I said that word on accident, it didn't make sense in context.
Maybe it did.
I'm going to listen back and see how that worked. Look, for that and many other reasons, I think that even though this podcast is fairly new, I think it needs to end.
Oh, that's why we need to keep going. Yes, sorry. Yes, yes, please, please, please.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. We might have to go a little bit over, but I think this is an important point to make.
You know what?
Give me an intro.
Dude, and, we're going over because I brought up The Room, which was a disaster, and so it added like literally 15 minutes to our podcast. You know,
I blame you, and I blame us both for this fucking podcast.
Let's blame James Franco.
I'm going to tell you why it needs to stop.
Okay, here you go.
Sometimes that is better.
Welcome to another edition of this romantic edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation. Look, this is an easy association to make. Last year on the last podcast, I made a couple of montages because I felt that we said the word fuck way, way too much. Now, this is a new podcast. There's only been a few episodes, and we've already said the word fuck more times than any podcast should over a 10-year span. I'm talking about three episodes. I pulled all these examples of us using the word fuck. I looked at three episodes. I really only made it through two. that's what a problem this is. And I think it's good for this episode because Valentine's Day is romantic. There's nothing more romantic than fucking. So
yeah.
Well, at least it can be. You know, if your heart's really into it. Anyway, that's the connection with the Valentine's Day theme. The fact is, we say the word fuck too much, and this is called What is the Fuck?
Fucking awesome.
Jason, please, for God's sake, stop breathing in the fucking microphone. You're like, can I have a cup of coffee? She's like, fuck you, Jason.
What the fuck?
Fucking Joey.
Bear ass comes out of nowhere and shoots a turd in your fucking Cheerios.
Filth, flarn, filth, and dag nabbit and shooting heck.
Punch me directly in the fucking teeth. Fucking face.
Fuck you, Jason!
Fuck it then. Just every fucking day. Fucking tacos. Fucking enchiladas. Fucking.
Listen, you fucking millennials. How can you fuck up a Mexi melt? Fucking fuck!
Fuck! We say fuck all the time. It's not even a fucking cuss word anymore. People say fuck. Give me the fucking money, you shithead. So fuck's not really a curse word.
A fucking schoolyard.
Ah, fuck.
Fuck you, Joey Button.
Fucked up chalupa that some millennial made. Get shit and fuck. I just said that. We get to shit and fuck. A good shit and a good fuck.
Word.
Don't be a fucking dick.
Fuck you, you fucking fucker.
Fucking go, you piece of fucking shit.
Philosophy is the fucking study of general and fucking fundamental problems concerning fucking matters such as existence, fucking knowledge, values, reasons, bullshit, mind, and your mom's butt. And language. Fuck it.
Ah.
Yes.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck.
Oh, 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 oh.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Sometimes dead is better.
Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah. I should have hit the show outro right as that played, as if, you know, yeah, you're right, show's over. Oh, that was good.
Well, you know, that's a lot of fucks.
That's a lot of fucks.
It's just fuck. But anyway, my plan is, and it worked last time. It was part of my plan for the first podcast. I figured it would take about 2 fucktages to really build the momentum toward the end of the podcast where you were like, oh my God, yeah, that's over. Well, that was the first one of this podcast for the new year.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling it'll take another one this year and several other montages of evidence to get rid of this podcast. And then, you know, God willing, we won't start another goddamn podcast.
Yeah, God willing. But you and I are, well, we're both atheists. So, Joe, we're done. Congratulations. After missing a week, we still got it, baby. We still got it.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
And then, so whoever Ian listens to this podcast tomorrow, you will hear our late Valentine's Day. That's almost like giving your wife a bouquet of flowers a week late. It's just the timing is so off. But we did it. Eventually, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, we're still 1-for-1 for the week. So, you know, if people have a problem with it, then whatever. Just, you know, send us a big check. Send us a lot of money because obviously we do this because we got nothing better to do. If you don't want us to do the podcast anymore because we, you know, screwed up your schedule, send me a check for like, I don't know, $1 million or send me Katy Perry's phone number and then I'll have something else to do. But until then, Joe, I think I want to record another one tomorrow. What do you say?
Yeah, let's just do it tomorrow. Okay. I have nothing prepared, so let's go ahead and do Bareback Mountain, motherfuckers.
Let's do a Bareback Mountain. Bareback episode. You guys know what that means, right? That means we're going to get naked and have butt sex. No, it means we're not going to have anything prepared. Sorry. Later.